Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and of course Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are The Sheep Detectives, Carolina Caroline, and Fiume o Morte.
I would like to start off by talking about a mystery, but it's not a very deep mystery, and it's a pretty cheerful mystery, actually, called The Sheep Detectives. This movie's been out a little while now. I just recently caught up with it, and a lot of my fellow critics really, really like it a lot, and I think it's a very nice movie. I don't think it's anything great, but it certainly is fun, and it has some really marvelous special effects to it. So this movie was directed by Kyle Balda, and it has quite a number of human characters, but it also has a whole lot of sheep characters. And the sheep characters are done in a process that actually makes it look like the sheep are talking. There's a whole lot of talking sheep in this movie, as you can well imagine. And the voices are provided by the likes of Patrick Stewart and Regina Hall and Chris O'Dowd and Julia Louis-Dreyfus and some pretty illustrious folks as current day actors go. And there's also a real human character or two in it. Hugh Jackman plays one of the main characters, a guy named George. So George is a shepherd. This movie is, in fact, all about sheep. And he has a habit that he has, which is that he reads to his sheep at night. He relaxes himself and he relaxes them by reading to them the detective stories that he really loves personally. He has no idea, apparently, that they are actually taking in every word that he says, but they are. And they're discussing the things, and there's one sheep who's particularly good at guessing who really committed the murder or whatever it is. So it's sort of amusing. It's as if you imagine somebody who's talking to a group of people every night, and they really love the stories. And then each night after he finishes reading, they discuss it, and they come up with their theories about how to solve the mystery and all that, except that these are all sheep. So then quite early in the movie, so this is not a spoiler, poor George, who is this main character, he's not a main character because he dies. He's murdered very, very early in the film. So my gosh, now the sheep have got a real murder to solve. They loved their shepherd and they really want to find out who did this. And it is exactly the kind of mystery that they have been prepped to solve from all these mystery stories that George himself was reading to them over the years. So that is the basic setup for the Sheep Detectives. And after that, it really does become, in almost quite a literal sense, a whodunit, as the sheep try to figure out who done it. Now, there's other characters who come into the movie as well. Quite a number of human characters come in there. There, for example, is a rich lady who comes in from elsewhere. And since she came in from elsewhere, and since she's a rich lady, we think, well, maybe it was her. Oh, and I'm not going to go through it all. There are several possible culprits here. And the sheep are all talking and scurrying around. And it's sort of amusing because they're sheep. So they're used to following a leader. They're used to following their shepherd, or at least following the sheep who is leading the group at the moment. And so at one point, there comes a time when they have to cross a road. A couple of them have to cross a road in order to get to the place where they need to be to solve the next step in the crime, to cross a road. So one of the older sheep, a rather eccentric sheep, I won't get into his story, goes across the road and wants them to follow. But it takes quite a while before they can work up the courage to cross the road. And the sort of little joke that creeps into this movie from time to time, while they're there hesitating, full of fear, full of trepidation, not sure if they'll ever be able to get across this road, a chicken walks across. So, of course, we have the old joke about why did the chicken cross the road? And then that helps them to muster the courage to cross the road themselves. So it's an amusing little film in its way. Yes, in the end, the mystery is solved. Yes, in the end, the murderer is outed, and it turns out to be a pretty complicated story. So I myself am not crazy about whodunits. I've always agreed with what Alfred Hitchcock said. You know, Alfred Hitchcock, who made suspense stories and stories that can loosely be called mysteries throughout his entire many, many decades career, always said he he didn't like whodunits, and he very, very rarely made a whodunit. He made stories where sometimes you know who did it pretty early in the story yourself, and you watch other people trying to solve it, but it's not about just the audience figuring out who did it. And the reason was, he said, because the rewards of a whodunit are primarily intellectual. It's figuring out something, it's solving a puzzle. He preferred stories which are more psychological in nature, and so do I. I've never been all that fond of whodunits, so that's one of my prejudices about this movie. And also, I'm not exactly crazy about movies that are full of animatronics and things like that, because even when they're really well done, as they are in this movie, you know, they're fake things. They're not real. So, okay, I prefer stories which are more emotional in their effects rather than intellectual. I love intellectual films, and I'm not for movies that are full of sentiment and that kind of feelings, but I really do like stories that are more, let's say, psychological. And this movie is not particularly psychological. It really is very much a whodunit. And it does have all those cute talking animals. But that said, it has a terrific cast. Emma Thompson, I didn't mention, she plays that rich lady from afar, and she's always really good. And a whole lot of really good voices for the sheep characters. And it's a fun movie. So I really can recommend it. It's streaming, and you can find it very easily. The Sheep Detectives. It's worth solving where this is and having a look at it. Next movie I'd like to talk about is another movie, which is, in this case, full of crime, Carolina Caroline. Okay, so yes, it's about a movie named Carolyn who wants to go to South Carolina. That's sort of her dream, even though the story really starts off in Texas. This is a movie that was directed by Adam Remeier. And we have our two main characters, Carolina, who I've mentioned, and a young man named Oliver. And they have a sort of a cute meet early in the film. Oliver is pulling off a scam at the gas station where Caroline works. He's cheating the person behind the counter into giving him more money than is really coming back to him in change. And Caroline, she sees this, she spots this, and she goes up and she says, "You're going to walk away from here," in her Texas accent, "with money that belongs to the station." And yep, he's busted, but she is really cute and he's not bad himself. So the next thing you know, she is leaving her father, played by John Grice, leaving at the home where she lives with him. They have a very lovely relationship, by the way, and going off with Oliver. And from there, we have what must be about the 10 billionth variation on the old Bonnie and Clyde story. We have Caroline and Oliver going from place to place. This is also very much a road movie. And they pretty soon get beyond their little scams and even their big scams, and they start robbing banks. So, yes, it is really the old Bonnie and Clyde story. And by the way, and if you want to have a good time at the movies, a very dark good time, I admit, seek out the original Bonnie and Clyde from the 1960s. It's still quite a really good picture. But in this case, we have Caroline and Oliver, and they are the Bonnie and Clyde. There's no references to Bonnie and Clyde in the movie that I could spot anyway, but that's exactly what they are. And of course, they get into all kinds of troubles and they get into all kinds of weird situations. And Caroline herself really wants to go to South Carolina. I mentioned that she was living very happily with her father, and she goes off, leaves him, you know, a little fond farewell to him, and goes off with Oliver. But her dream, one of her dreams, is to meet her mother who lives in South Carolina. And that is why the movie is called Carolina Caroline. And that is why she wants to go to South Carolina. And I will reveal that she does eventually get there and she does eventually find her mother, played by Kira Sedgwick, by the way, a very, very fine portrayal there, a small part, but a very, very memorable one. She does meet up with her mother, and that has a whole other part of the story. Now, you know, this is probably not going to end well for the two main characters. I won't tell you how it turns out, but since this is very, very much a variation on the old Bonnie and Clyde story, I will say that it ends more or less the way it ended for Bonnie and Clyde. So you can look out for that. Now, the acting in the movie is really good. I've only mentioned specifically a couple of them, but Samara Weaving plays the main character, Caroline, well, one of the two main characters, and she's just fine. She is really, really gorgeous. She is really a perfectly good actor. She does a good range of emotions. I'm not saying it's a performance for the ages, but she does a really fine job. She makes the character very much alive. Oliver is a more limited character in his emotional range. He is played by Kyle Gallner, who also does a very nice job with the character. I think he gives the character about as much life and interest as could be given to that character, who is not exactly a deep person. So the acting in the movie is good. There's a lot of really nice locations along the way. Like the original Bonnie and Clyde, they very often go into small towns and they find a little bank and they pull out their, well, she pulls out her gun. He is usually the getaway person. And they rob the place and then they move on to the next location. So you see a lot of interesting sort of atmospheric places along the course of the movie. And you see these robberies and you see these various bad things that they do. And you can just sense that things are getting worse and worse. And then you have this subplot, which does have some real emotional weight of poor Caroline wanting to meet up with her mother in South Carolina and finally getting to do that. And you see how that turns out. So it's a movie that has more than one thing going on. I can't say it's a very original movie because I will say for the 10 billionth time, it's the 10 billionth variation on the Bonnie and Clyde story, but it's well done. It's a perfectly adequate and acceptable and in its way enjoyable current day movie. So, Carolina, Caroline, even if you're not in one of the Carolinas, a movie worth seeing if you like that sort of thing. And finally, I'll talk about a movie which is way more unusual. You can also find it streaming. So it's available, it's accessible, even though it's very much an art film. And it's a weird sort of a movie, very, very much on purpose. It's called Fiume o Morte. And what that means is fiume or die. Fiume is a place, which plays a very important part in this movie. The movie was written and directed by Igor Bezinovich. And as I said, it's a very, very unusual movie. I don't think it quite works, but it's a very interesting experiment. So here is what it is. It is the story of a man, a very famous Italian poet named Gabriele D'Annunzio, who, way back in 1919, went to a city which was then called Fiume because it was disputed by different nations, and he decided it should be part of his nation, which was Italy. So way back in, and this is real stuff, by the way, this is real history. Way back in 1919, this poet, Gabriele D'Annunzio, went to Fiume, put together a little army, and decided he was going to conquer the city and annex it for his country, Italy. So that's what this film is about. It didn't work out very well. And by the way, the whole campaign only lasted about a year. And soon thereafter, the city, Fiume, became part of Yugoslavia, which of course no longer exists now. Now it's part of Croatia. The city is now called Rijeka. And that is where a lot of this takes place. So what the director of this film, Igor Bezinovich, did was he wanted to tell the story of D'Annunzio putting together this little army, occupying the city back in 1919, 1920, and trying to annex it for his country and failing at that. So what Bezinovich did in making this film was he recruited just regular people off the street to play the various characters in this movie. However, it's not just a film full of amateur acting. What you have is several different people over the course of the movie playing D'Annunzio, and different people at different times playing various people who enter into the story, which is all based on real history. And of course, the whole thing was basically made in Rijeka, which is what the city is called now. So this film has an unusual, shall we say, patrimony. The movie actually is a co-production of Croatia and Slovenia and Italy. So it's very much from that part of the world. And it's a very, very odd movie. Now, the history, I think, is mildly interesting. I mean, I was not sitting here day by day wondering, I wonder what happened to that city that used to be called Fiume. It's not a subject which especially interests me. And the history of that period of 1919 to 1920 is much more interesting in the context of World War I than it is in the context of what happened to this little city, which was then called Fiume. So the subject is mildly interesting, I would say. As for the format, the idea of recruiting real people and various real people with multiple people playing the same parts and that kind of thing, I don't think it works very well. Sometimes these people, the actual people, are interviewed as themselves on camera, and they seem like nice folks. And some of them are very, very eager to participate in this project. They like to see themselves on the big screen. Others seem a little more reluctant, but they eventually decide, okay, they'll go along with it. In any case, I thought that the format of the movie, that idea of the sort of the docudrama, drama, reenacting what happened so long ago using current day residents of the city. I think it was basically a gimmick, and I don't think it works very well, and I don't think it adds anything, although it makes the movie unusual, and I guess that's worth something. The history itself, again, is mildly interesting, and hey, it's so just remarkable to think that this poet, way back all those decades ago, more than 100 years ago, put together a little army and successfully occupied a city for a while. It turns out, as we find out from some of the on-camera interviews, some people today still remember that that happened. I don't remember it personally, but they know the history. They know their city was occupied for a while, and they think that was probably bad. Other people never heard of the Nunzio, never heard of the occupation, but hey, here they are in this movie anyway. So it's an unusual project. I don't think you have to fume a morte. I don't think you have to die in order to see this movie. But if you're interested in the history from the early part of the 20th century, it's worth checking out. So that is my one-part Croatian and Slovenian story this week.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films The Sheep Detectives, Carolina Caroline, and Fume o Morte.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera National Theater Live and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.